DW Deutsche Welle. Pulse.
I'm not gonna leave you now. Oh, I know it's gonna get better. I'm not gonna leave you now. Oh, I know it's gonna get better.
Hello and welcome to Pulse, DW's show that brings you mind-stimulating stories for the young and the young at heart, with some music flavor to go along with it. And this week it's all about unlocking Africa's youth potential. I'm Crispin Wakideu in Bonn. That I'm tempted by kings with the finest of things, but you know that ain't got no truth. And coming up, as parts of Africa are grappling with severe drought, a young African student is thinking of coming up with a solar-powered water pump.
The problem is people are often facing drought and water shortages, so this helps them so that they do not have to go through that.
And in Zambia, another project seeks to empower young people to hold their governments to account.
We are here to train, give skills and knowledge and attitude to the young people so that they can either hold government accountable or they can also start up their own social enterprises, try and create a better generation.
And also in this program, social media is abuzz after U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson refers to slaves as immigrants with dreams. Stay tuned.
Oh, no, it's gonna get better. I don't know why you always think that I always think I'm not satisfied. That I'm tempted by kings with the finest of things, but you know that I got no truth.
I don't know. Africa's future lies in its younger generation. This has become clear as more and more African governments seek to equip their youth with knowledge and skills. Zimbabwe has just concluded a regional science congress which showcased various innovations by school children as young as 10 years. DW's Columbus Mavunga was there to cover the event, and as he now reports, the idea of a self-washing car, among others, caught his imagination.
Those are about 1,000 young science students at the inaugural Africa Science Baskers Festival, which was recently held here in Harare. The students are drawn from across the continent. The project, which aims to recruit 20,000 ideas and innovations from Zimbabwe and the same number in other countries in Africa, is funded by the Australian government. Here is Suzanne Marcourt, the Australian ambassador to Zimbabwe.
We need to learn things like some of the students have shown us today about how to use alternative fuels, for example, how to conserve water, for example, all these things. And these junior and high school students are actually coming up with these ideas and therefore learning about how they move forward in the world and how technology can play a really important role. It's absolutely terrific that we're seeing some Zimbabwean, also Zambian and South African young people who clearly have a passion for science.
Back to the inaugural Africa Science Baskers Festival. For me, the most amazing innovation was that of a self-washing car. 13-year-old Jan Vilmen van Roof of the Hoër School, Gasfontein School in Pretoria in South Africa, is the brain behind the project. He says in about a decade, his self-washing car must be in the market. A self-washing car? Who doesn't like that one? Especially if you are from Africa, which has so many dirty roads. The young scientist tells me how the idea came about.
Every Sunday evening I'm pledged to wash my dad's car, and I have a bad habit of being lazy, and especially Sunday, come on, it's the end of the week. So I'm not really in the mood to wash my dad's car every week.
He says he got his idea from white flowers. Have you ever seen an orchid flower dirty? Another exciting project is by 10-year-old Trainees Dhaka from Happy Junior Primary School in Harare. He plans to build a solar water pump that can supply a whole village with clean water and will be driven by clean energy.
It's important to Zimbabwe and Africa because the problem is people are often facing drought and water shortages. So this helps them so that they do not have to go through that. Let's say there's a water shortages. You can use the solar water pump. I promise Zimbabweans or Africans that this will not break down. It will help people, and I want to give it to a company so they make more and sell them to the poor, so that they do not struggle in taking water, but it will do it for them.
What is exciting about these future scientists is that they are seeking scientific solutions for real problems facing Africa. For 17-year-old Caro Van Rooyen, nanofertilizer is the solution to Zimbabwe's agricultural sector. She says in 10 years from now, Zimbabwe's water pollution problem from fertilizer chemicals would be history. But that is not all.
Looking into the agricultural systems of here in Zimbabwe, you find out that we rely on inorganic fertilizers. But we are now having problems, like there is shortage of fertilizers and the country has to import. But that is a difficulty. We need money to import that. Also, I was looking into the fertilizers themselves. We have great nutrient losses to the environment because they are water soluble. And these nutrients can be lost into the water bodies. We want to purify it to get clean drinking water. More chemicals needed to be imported for that purification. So I wanted to find something that we can do about those fertilizers. So I landed on nanotechnology.
Scientists say nanofertilizers are nutrient user efficient, cost effective, and require less application. Should that materialize, that will certainly cut Zimbabwe's ever ballooning import bill. So great ideas for what some say are small minds. But for us to see the fruit, we have to wait for about another 10 years.
DW correspondent in Harare, Columbus Mavunga. And still to come, the plight of South Sudanese school children. But first, Ben Carson, the new U.S. Secretary for Housing and Urban Development, has caused a social media storm. In his first address to his staff, Carson allegedly referred to slaves as immigrants. To talk about all that reaction on Twitter, I'm now joined by DW's social media editor, Wanjiku Mwaura.
That's right, Crispin. Carson's remarks have sparked outrage online, as you would expect. African-American actor Samuel L. Jackson led the Twitter tirade saying, "Okay, Ben Carson, I can't. Immigrants? In the bottom of slave ships?" And of course, he went on to use profanity language, which we cannot broadcast. Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of former President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, who lost last year's election to Donald Trump, said of Carson's statement, "This can't be real." We also are seeing another comment here from a Twitter user who goes by the name William Salit, who made fun of the former neurosurgeon, saying, "As told by Ben Carson, the movie 12 Years a Slave, which won several Oscars, would be titled 12 Years a Hardworking Migrant."
That's being funny right there. But I understand there are some who have come to Carson's defense as well.
Yes, we have a comment here from Erica, who supports Carson, and she wrote, "Reading tweets about Ben Carson, liberals are so threatened by a black man who refuses to play the victim card or be kept on dem plantation." Another comment from Irma also says, "Ben Carson never said slaves were immigrants. His message was of hope and prospering. Why distort it and pervert it with hate? Media lies again."
Well, there we go again. Alternative facts all over again.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway, of course, Trump's administration has been at loggerheads with the mainstream media, accusing it of spreading fake news.
Yes, Crispin, but maybe the most interesting tweet comes from Hafiz Sharif. He said, "Slaves are immigrants. Tomorrow, Ben Carson will say prisoners are volunteers and the homeless are fresh air enthusiasts." Chilling.
Well, let's leave it at that. Wanjiku Mwaura, DW, social media editor.
Soma, 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 kijana, masiku zazidibadilika, kijana, soma, soma, soma.
Soma, kijana in the Kiswahili language means gain knowledge, young person. But of course, for one to acquire that sound knowledge, there has to be a conducive environment. Unfortunately, that is not the case in South Sudan's Lier County. Children there have missed out on classes for the past 3 years due to insecurity. Wake Wodo Simon reports.
Children in Lier, trapped in swamp areas by the three-year conflict in South Sudan, have not felt any dividends of the peace agreement. Thousands of them have not been going to school since the violence broke out in late 2013. Gatkwoch Juice, 15 years old, is one of thousands of the children who is unable to attend school. Juice's dreams of becoming a medical doctor seem to be fading.
There is no school that I can go to because of the war.
Another 12 years old, Kemis Gokalam, dressed in a torn black shirt and a t-shirt, says he suddenly dropped out of school in late 2013. He was in primary one when the conflict broke out. Wandering around at Tonyo Registration Center to receive foot aid, Lam also wants to become a medical doctor.
We are not going to school since the war broke out. I don't have money for going back to school, and my father has no job to transfer me elsewhere because he doesn't have money.
Andrew Ran, 45, a father of 11, has been living all his life in Ler together with his family but hiding in swamp areas since the conflict broke out. Of his 11 children, he explains none of them goes to school for the last 3 years.
There's no school here. All this area belong to the IO. There's no school. People are like that. Even the second boys, they could not get to school. There's no school here at all. From 2013 until today, there's no school.
Ran, staring helplessly as he spoke to me, had run out of ideas as to how he can educate his children. Together with 1,000 other people trapped in the conflict region, he has no means to relocate his family out of Lier County to a safer place where his children can go to school. Traveling by road means endangering his family, as rebels can easily stop them, he says.
If there's no war, our children should go to school. If the war is continue, what can we do? We are just people of this area. Then we don't want to go anywhere. We will be here in our land.
Jamie Stott works with one of the 8 agencies in the area, says the situation is worrying. He says children are being traumatized with the military fighting. Sometimes you see them making toy guns instead of going to school to learn.
Children are not going to school here due to insecurity. And also the teachers are scattered somewhere. Some are in Nyal, some are in the other side of northern side for living. Because living cost here is difficult. And the security also is also not allow people to give the education to the children. And also even the books. There are no books here. There are no shocks here.
Lier, birthplace to rebel leader and former First Vice President Riek Machar, is controlled by rebels. There are no government services in the area since conflict broke out. 8 agencies have only recently started delivering aid to the people there. But Petty Wells, the country director for Save the Children, says they cannot provide education services to the people in the region.
We really need unimpeded access, and we need protection. That's protection of our staff, but also our assets and our program items.
According to UNICEF, 1.8 million children have been forced out of school following the outbreak of the conflict in late 2013.
DW correspondent Wake Wudu Simon reporting. Nearly 70% of Zambians are young people, but they have been shut out from the social, political and economic arena of the Southern African nation. Youth unemployment also stands at a staggering 90%, according to the United Nations. But a new initiative known as the Global Platform hopes to reverse this trend and empower the Zambian youth. Kathy Sikombe has this report, now read by Zilia Frulich.
It's a rainy day and I'm here at the Global Platform Zambia, a Southern African youth training hub. Despite the heavy rains, many youngsters are flocking into the centre waiting to start their lessons. Brenda Simpasa is one of the trainers at the centre.
What we basically do is train young people in different courses in social change, like governance. We do trainings in budget tracking, social media, creative campaign, social entrepreneurship. So we are here to like train, give skills and knowledge and attitude to the young people so that they can either hold government accountable or they can also start up their own social enterprises, try and create a better generation.
Global Platform Zambia is part of the worldwide network of ActionAid global platforms, which are youth hubs for empowerment and activism. There are 10 of these hubs globally located in Africa, Central America, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and Europe. I visited one of these training sessions in a room where 30 young men and women from various countries were being trained to become trainers. It is a one-week training program covering topics such as youth leadership, project management, and facilitation and communication skills. Solomon Dakuchuma from Ghana is one of the trainers. He says he is happy to see the development of young people after training at the global platform.
We have some short trainings, which is just for a week. We also have some very long ones. So young people come in, sometimes they come in with a lot of prejudices, stereotypes, but afterwards they leave and you see a change in attitude. It's hard to measure, but you realize that people are beginning to well up with passion for social change in their communities.
23-year-old Krimilda Chikwakwa is from Maputo in Mozambique. Back in her home country, Chikwakwa works with orphans. She's now at the training center learning about leadership.
Now I see difference. I'm learning from different participants. So we share the experience. So I see like the thing that I was not able to do back home, I can take it from here and try to implement back home.
It's not only trainings that take place at the Global Platform Center. Its premises are a hive of activities, with youth sitting on the floor of corridors and doorways due to a lack of space. Some are browsing the internet, writing business plans, while others are blogging about different issues. These youngsters do not have to pay for all these services thanks to the international non-governmental organization ActionAid that's paying for these facilities.
The language that you're going to use there would be different if you went to a university.
Back in the classroom where the training session was taking place, trainer Brenda Simpasa explained how the hub plans to help youth becoming financially self-sustainable.
We're trying as much as possible to do different activities that can help the young people to be active and try and find different ways apart from just them looking at employment, but also think creatively on different issues that they can do to also create employment for the other young people.
More than 1,000 youth, mostly from the Southern African region, have been trained since Global Platform opened its doors in Zambia. The institution is giving birth to a movement of young people who are passionate about social change.
And that report was written by Kathy Sikombe in Lusaka. And that does it for this week's edition of Pulse. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can get all Pulse programs by downloading the DW app and also hear us on SoundCloud. You can, of course, connect with us on DW Africa Facebook page. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Take care and goodbye.
Say, no man can go say, 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 say